Welcome to Worst Year Ever, a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
Hello, welcome back to Worst Year Ever. Is this the way I'm opening the show? I think it is. My name's Katie.
Oh, it so is.
You guys, don't go anywhere. It's going to get better.
No, it can't be better than this. The energy is at an all-time high. Speaking of high, hi, I'm Cody.
Hey.
I'm also Cody, but the better Cody.
That's also true.
Who's legally distinct.
I'm supposed to yes and that, but this information contradicts what I already know about you, which is that you are Robert Evans.
That doesn't sound right.
The Robert Evans?
You know, Katie, in journalism, we require three sources to confirm a fact like that, and I don't believe you have that much confirmation.
I've got Sophie, myself, and Cody confirming.
Confirmed. Doesn't seem like Cody's confirming.
I said he was a better Cody, so...
I think this is... The Washington Post would call this a disputed fact.
We're deadlocked. We're at 2.5 Pinocchios right now.
It is impossible to know the truth.
I'm sure I could dig up a birth certificate, but who cares? We've got two Cody Johnstons today.
I burnt that
today.
Thing a long time ago to protect myself from the government.
Cody, as is your right.
Can we just say Cody squared?
Cody squared.
Cody's Johnson.
We're workshopping new bits that we can put on t-shirts. Maybe that's one of them. I don't know.
That's a good one, too.
Send us your fan art.
We're workshopping new bits for t-shirts. The shirt.
That's a new slogan. That's the... Today, we're just cataloging new slogans.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about today. Only that. Oh. Also...
Only that. These things.
Welcome to the news.
Yeah. There's a bunch of stuff to get through today. We're going to have a hodgepodge, wild ride, good time vibes all around. Let's start with impeachment. Speaking of wild time, good time.
Hodgepodge, wild time, hodgepodge, hog wild ride.
What was your guys' experience? I've been trying my best to turn off the internet on the weekends, at least a little bit more.
That's
stay
healthy.
Away. I'll check in the morning, just to see what kind of likes I've been showered with.
I think you had the
see
same
if I've
experience
gone viral
me,
overnight.
Katie.
No, but then I will maybe check in at the end of the day or something.
I think
again.
You had the exact same thing as me on Saturday where you unplugged like right when they said they were doing witnesses.
Yeah.
And then you went back and then he was acquitted.
Yes, that's what I was building to.
I had the exact, I read your tweet and I was like, same.
Yes. Yeah.
Bad.
So you wake up in the morning to the news that they will be calling witnesses. There was that, was it the Washington Post that was reporting on Friday about the call? Was it Kevin McCarthy the day of the insurrection on this phone with Donald Trump saying, call them off, call them off? And then Donald Trump was like, oh, yeah. Those are a bunch of Antifa people. And he's like, nah, dude, they're Trump supporters. And then Donald Trump says something to the lines of, well, at least they care enough to do something about it. And we've got people willing to testify and talk about it. And we were all gung-ho. But then by the end of the day, he had indeed been acquitted. That was a wild ride for me, guys.
We did it. We held him accountable.
We held him accountable. We got all the facts in front of everybody.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't even do that because they didn't call witnesses because I guess the Republicans threatened to drown them in a bunch of witnesses and keep it going, and everyone wanted to go home.
They wanted to go home for Valentine's Day to get fucked or to fuck.
Or to fuck, to bone at the now open restaurant so that we can have another. And it's like, God, I'm just so...
That was disgusting, first of all. Continue.
I'm so black-pilled right now because it's we couldn't do a proper impeachment, couldn't call all the witnesses we need, couldn't impeach the guy, which I guess I can forgive just because the realities of how that vote goes are what they are and the Republicans are monsters. What I can't forgive is like the Democrats have completely failed to get any kind of aid package out. They're taking another week-long break, and while we have no aid package, people are not getting checks. A horrible winter storm is hitting. The president is getting ready to start touring again. Joe Biden decides that the next big priority is to start throwing out shit about gun control. When again, no one has a fucking aid package. Like, it's just this.
We're gonna
help people.
We're going to get into all of those different things today, I believe. But yeah, it is. It is unbelievably frustrating. Also, okay, so want to wrap things up. They want to get things going, move things along to focus on these other very important things, such as COVID relief.
Helping people.
Right. So you're not doing that.
Yeah.
You
sped these things up to not do that. But also, what was the point? Thus far, if you are not to get the information out, but then to get it all out, what are you doing? What is this half-assed measure? Like,
it's largely political theater, right? To give the illusion that they're doing something. They knew, like, he's gonna get acquitted. Although 7 votes from Republicans is more than I expected, so
for sure. Yeah, I mean, it is like historic in that more people voted to of the president in question's party voted to impeachment than has happened before.
Yeah, it was more bipartisan than let's say one would expect. But also, like, they did the thing. Also, they want to get back. It's time to get back to the real stuff. Really help the people. They're also doing a 9/11 commission style thing about the January 6th. Mm-hmm. So like so you're not actually gonna do the things.
To call it a trial is really offensive to me, to be honest.
Yeah, it was not a trial.
Because the jurors were also the victims and also co-conspirators and also met with the defense lawyers in the middle of the trial. And
pretty fuzzy.
Yeah, it's like if you were putting a serial killer on trial and the jury was an even mix of family members of the people he killed and the folks who sold him bone saws.
Also, one thing I'm very upset about, actually, is that they deprived us of the opportunity to see Donald Trump speak.
Well,
at this trial.
Yeah.
Why couldn't you at least give us that? Watch him do his thing. Give him a few minutes.
Trump's
lawyers
were embarrassing.
Been holding in his tweets. Could you have made him come? Because he turned it down. Is there some protections as a former president?
Probably not.
Now that we're talking about the come of elected leaders, I think this is my wheelhouse, Katie. So talking about Donald Trump's semen, I mean, I've got about 46 pages prepared.
Think he prepares? He produces semen?
Yes.
Cody's had a long-held theory that he's never had sex.
So I don't know that he's had sex. You can produce semen without having sex. And have you ever bitten into a fast food hamburger and then had a glob of mayonnaise fall down?
I'm so unhappy
into like
right
the
now.
Side
I'm
of your hand, and then it just sort of like oozes down onto the sleeve of your jacket. That's
I believe it's called.
Katie, do me a
I believe
favor
it's called
and
toothpasting.
Wave when it's over, so
toothpasting.
Put my headphones back on.
That's how he ejaculates. But I also imagine that it smells exactly like apple cider vinegar.
Mm-hmm. Huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
It also the drip.
I don't
the drip
know though.
Down, it's inside. It drips down in back into his urethra as well.
Apple cider vinegar has a lot of health benefits. Just putting that out there.
Yeah.
So
this is not that case.
This is not.
It's not only the smell.
This is corrupted apple cider vinegar.
Yeah, it's like apple cider vinegar that's been mixed with mayonnaise and left in a gym bag on a hot day.
So, like an apple cider vinegar
sauce.
Apple cider
vinegar. Yeah, an apple cider vinegar sauce that's been left in gym shoes in a gym bag in the back of a Ford Fiesta in 115 degree heat with 96% humidity.
With a dollop of cottage cheese.
Yeah.
Right before we started recording, we had a call to discuss t-shirt designs, as I hinted at earlier in the episode. And the only recurring
Talking
bit we could come up
shit.
With was, our discussion of politicians come.
Yeah.
And here we are continuing that.
Well, yeah, it's important.
I don't enjoy it.
News. Although, to be serious for a moment.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Perhaps if we let Donald Trump speak, he would have incited more violence, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, you know?
He definitely would have.
There is absolutely something to be said about that. Let's give him back a platform. Let's put him in front of a camera again. Yeah, let's do that.
Help him come.
He's a comer.
I will say, though, we've already seen a federal lawsuit being filed against him and Rudy Giuliani, the NAACP, on behalf of Rep. Benny Thompson, who's a Democrat from Mississippi. And other Democrats in Congress are going to be joining in as plaintiffs.
That'll get them.
So, but then, you know, the lawsuit basically argues that, well, I'll just read from the New York Times. The lawsuit contends that Mr. Trump and Mr. Giuliani violated the Ku Klux Klan Act, an 1871 statute that includes protections against violent conspiracies that interfered with Congress's constitutional duties. The suit also names the Proud Boys, the far-right nationalist group, and the Oath Keepers militia group. So, you know, this continues, but
I mean, in
Mitch McConnell's own speech, the speech where he made a very well-articulated case as to why the president is indeed responsible for January 6th, and then goes on to acquit him, but also says that he leaves the door open for civil lawsuits.
Yeah, that was one last frustrating, you know, cherry on top.
Yes.
And again, expected, like, yeah, week of the thing, they do the thing you expect, and then they laugh in your face about it with no consequences, because Mitch McConnell can get away with anything. Literally, like, it's as if he wrote the speech.
Yeah.
Based off of him voting to convict, and then Correct. Read the speech anyway.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about it for weeks. How do you reconcile these two different parties within the party, these factions, the pro-Trumps and the never-Trumps?
You
do exactly what he just did, which is condemn it and still acquit.
Exactly.
He can't. He's not doing anything.
Yeah, no reconciliation is necessary because they're all the same. It's just some are more blatant about it. The Trump wing of the party, if that's what you want to call it, is just an extension of the other part of the party. It grew from the same pot of soil. They're the same. Just some are more willing to try to, like, you know, talk out of the side of their mouths about it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's there they are. It's Trump's party and they did it. And congratulations. Also, like, one of the, I forget which Republican senator voted to convict. Was also, like, spreading this lie about the election being stolen, like, for weeks.
Yeah.
And now he's being, like, paraded out as this, like, oh, wow, in a bipartisan move, he comes out against Trump. It's like, no, he helped. He did it. And now he's this, like, you know, again, the resistance sort of hero type.
This is
the responsible Republican who voted against Trump, even though he helped him beforehand. So, you know, it's all stupid.
Trump's lawyers were also so like horrible. They were like embarrassed.
Par,
like,
for the course.
They were so embarrassing. The guy didn't even know if he was like, oh, I'm not sure if I'm under oath here. It's like, lawyers aren't under oath, dude.
Yeah, my favorite part was when he called the impeachment constitutional cancel culture.
It was just so much white male
Republicans
rage.
Republicans have about. Like, they have nothing. It's just cancel culture, cancel culture, cancel culture.
I have so many thoughts about cancel culture. Maybe
it's
for right
now. It's a brilliant
now.
Political strategy, because what cancel culture actually is the idea that, like, doing bad things should have consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And they've turned that into, if you get angry at us for hurting you, you're the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Us facing consequences.
Tying it to the Constitution's fucking wild. Like,
yeah,
that is
amazing.
Like, the Bill of Rights is constitutional virtue signaling. Like, no, fuck off. That's like, we can't, it's just melted all together. It's so frustrating.
And cancel culture just become a catch-all term for anybody coming under fire for anything at all. Cancel culture police, this and that, woke police. And this is a bit of a general conversation that I just said I want to keep having about different things, but, like, it frustrates me. I've seen people in my own life here in L.A. and Hollywood, you know, over the past couple of years becoming increasing. This isn't about politics specifically, but increasingly worried about saying or doing the wrong thing and how that will come back to haunt them, and whether or not sharing information is worth ruining somebody's career. And I'm always like, I think we've inflated the impact, because for the most part, people who get canceled aren't canceled. They've just been called out on something. They get to use that as an opportunity to address the problem, to rectify it. We give them an opportunity. We want people to grow. In general, that's what we see from this. accountability leading to change with when people are open to that. It frustrates
yeah.
me.
Yeah, well, and also more of an especially but that's like different these than this. These days, cancel culture is kind of used as just a career move, right? Like, oh no, I got canceled. Now I can do my canceled yeah. tour mm-hmm. and yeah. Go on all the canceled shows.
It's absolutely. Time for this stage canceled. Of my career. Yeah,
exactly.
It's just it's not some career ruining thing. It's a moment where people get to say, "You fucked up. What are you going to do about it?" It potentially, but also it's an opportunity for grifters and people that don't actually want to change to just weaponize it.
And it's certainly not impeaching the president.
Thank you for
that
bringing
is
it back
also
around.
Not cancel culture.
I've just been thinking about it so much this week. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Well, that's because they're pushing it. And that's like one of their main strategies going into 2022 is going to be like the cancel culture stuff because they're all in for sure. for Trumpism. And this...
yeah, they can't not be. They've given everything to it.
Exactly,
it's the only thing left in the party.
Yeah, it's pure Trump. From
it's
from
pure
here
Trump
on out.
and Mitt Romney in that photo where he's sitting with Trump and knows that it's going to be made into a meme. That's very embarrassing.
You mean that
for him?
Photograph taken by David Lynch in a restaurant?
It's incredible.
Was it really?
No, it just looks like it.
That adds a lot of layers to this.
Mitt's got the bizarre, unsettling yeah. aura of a David Lynch film.
Yes,
of
it
just
does.
Romney like turning.
Mitt Romney
at the
has
camera.
the unique skill of taking pictures where the expression on his face is genuinely an expression no human being has ever worn before. it's amazing.
Can I give a positive of the impeachment trial? It's my very, very small silver lining. I thought
are you
going to
talk about how sexy McConnell looked in those pants?
Oh, baby.
Am not.
They just
I'm horrified by the statement, and I'm going to go to HR about that comment.
You could see the spiderweb stains on the inseam.
No,
it looked like it looked like he was smuggling hot dog buns in a briefcase.
No, I've got a question. Was he actually wearing interesting pants, or are you guys
not at all.
No.
I just wanted to
be
bizarrely and inappropriately
just
sexual.
I was just going
to
say some of the videos they showed that weren't previously shown and have been widely seen by more Americans that are horrifying.
Yes. Getting
absolutely.
To see how close Mitt Romney and Mike Pence came to being torn apart by a mob was valuable historical insight, for sure.
Correct.
For the record.
For the record.
The historical record.
You love
record.
To see it.
You do love... No, I don't love to see it.
No,
I do love to see it because at least it means that history books in the future will know
we'll have a
how
video component.
Terrible these people were, assuming it's legal to make history books in the future. Mm-hmm. That are not just pictures of George Washington punching an indigenous person to death.
And Trump hugging that flag.
Yeah, and Trump hugging
that flag.
On
the many occasions he has
the two
flag.
Pages in our history books in the future, by which I mean Texas in a year.
Well, I think it's time for us to take a little ad break, come back, talk about some other things. That sound about right?
More.
Yeah, sure,
yeah
Katie,
we'll talk about... Speaking of cancel culture, Katie just canceled this podcast so that we can make money.
What?
I don't know.
But then she'll renew the podcast. Revitalized. Yeah. A reboot. Reboot coming soon.
I'm playing three-dimensional chess and you guys are ruining it by commenting on
just
it.
Just like Louis C.K.
Boom. No.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not.
Those were ads. We're back.
Good Lord, they sure were.
Should we get into some Texas?
Yeah, let's talk about some of the weather patterns.
So I'm in Texas right now because my mom has advanced pancreatic cancer. I'll be here for the next couple of weeks. And we rented a place, an Airbnb, who we happen to know the person or a friend of the family. Anyway, we're in an Airbnb. And it's in Plano, which is because it's a more affluent suburb and because it's a suburb, so it's not in the middle of the city or whatever, still has power, at least mostly. We have not lost it yet. In general, one of the things that people are pointing out, particularly within Dallas, is that the wealthiest neighborhoods in the city, Highland Park being a very noteworthy example, have not lost power, but a bunch of neighborhoods in a circle around Highland Park have lost power for significant periods of time. One of the things that's, you know, noteworthy about this is that Highland Park is not just a wealthy part of Dallas. It's one of, like, I don't know, the 20 or so richest neighborhoods in the entire country. Like, it's real big money is Highland fucking Park, and they have not had not lost power for a minute while a whole circle of neighborhoods around them have all lost power. And when a local Texas journalist kind of called this out and documented this, their answer was to open their library from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. as a warming center.
One floor of the library, right? It wasn't, you know, even the whole library.
The coldest parts of the day, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
When you need that warming center.
Got to warm up when the sun is shining in the library.
So it's rad. Obviously,
pack in to the library during the pandemic to warm up briefly. Yeah.
Really
huddle together
in there
for warmth inside, please.
It's fun that, or interesting to me, that the two cities in the United States that seem to have been like most disrupted by the ice storm have been Portland, where I left, and Dallas, where I came to.
I was about to say, and now I have to admit that I don't know the weather of these areas, but this is extreme, right? This isn't normal.
Yes, Portland normally gets snow every year, but not a lot.
But that was
like
a
couple
ton
of inches. It got like 18. So, and there's differences. So the reason, if you look at like maps of power, like grid shit in the United States, Portland is purple, which is the bad color, and all of Texas is purple. And or the reason, like, kind of North Oregon is purple, I think, has more to do with the fact that infrastructure was physically damaged by the weight of snow. Power lines went, but it was also a demand thing. But like a lot of shit just got, like, we had a Safeway in Portland collapse, like the ceiling fell
whoa
in because they were, the city just isn't built to take snow like this, right? So it's
right,
it was it's the increased strain on the grid. Sure, that was a factor, but also just like the sheer mass of snow was not anything the city was built for, because Portland's really not much better equipped to handle snow than Dallas, oddly enough. We don't really have a fleet of ice. One of the ironic things about Portland is they don't like to use salt on the roads because it's bad for the water. But none of the people who stopped the tear gas canisters from going into the rivers. It was very funny.
Also, doesn't the salt in the isn't that good for safety?
No, yes. No. I mean, it's good for safety. Yeah, it's not good. It's not great for water, but it's, you know, a trade off. And
right,
I would argue a better trade-off than poisoning the water in order to tear gas children.
I'd rather have salt in the water than tear gas, but
as would the fishes, I suspect.
That's think reasonable. So.
We'll poll them.
I know this is worst year ever, but can we just say the hotels that are hiking up their prices right now? You guys are bastards.
Oh, yeah. Pieces of shit. And technically illegal under Texas state law.
Oh, good
not
to know.
Not that it will get penalized.
No, I mean, yeah, like,
because
why do you even say that out loud?
You also it's Texas can't. It's like hotels are doing $1,000 a night things. And I've seen it in Dallas and Austin. My brother's in Dallas, and he has friends that couldn't find a hotel and they just left because they have no power.
Yeah.
It's just, it's fucked up.
And I think it's important to. This isn't just hitting, you know, Oregon and Texas. There are
lots of
states and lots of places that are experiencing extreme winter weather conditions.
Everyone is.
And
yeah,
we're having fun here talking about this, but the reality is that a lot of people are in a terrible situation being in these conditions without heat, without power,
water.
Not to mention, water, you know,
and the particular
the unhoused population.
The particular problem is everyone's getting hit by this. Specific parts of the country are unable to cope with it realistically because they're not prepared for it. And
yes,
at least one of the things that I will say for Oregon as opposed to Texas, people in Oregon are much better equipped for cold weather. It doesn't get that cold in North Texas, not often. And so in addition to having the power out, not having access to heating, you know, in Oregon and in places that tend to get a lot of cold weather, you have a lot more wood burning stoves, or at least like gas oven. You have like a lot more ability for people to heat their the place they live in, and also people own better jackets and more. They're just better ready for the weather and better ready to drive in icy conditions. And it just is. Texas is completely. When I was a kid, when we would get an inch of snow or two, it would shut the entirety of North Texas down for days sometimes. We're closing in. I think we're just based on what I'm seeing outside, it looks like we're closing in on a foot. We're going to get more tonight. And it's just there's no capacity to handle it. I think I'm the only fucking person in this town with snow tires on my car.
Yeah. And so it raises an interesting conversation online today. There's a lot of people talking about the hypocrisy of, say, Senator Ted Cruz, who a few months ago was mocking California for rolling blackouts during our wildfire season.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's valid. You know what? Yes.
Oh, he's fuck being Ted. An absolute, absolutely. Fuck Dan Crenshaw. For sure.
Peen. All of it. I would John like to Cornyn. Just also point out that it is true that our leaders, elected officials, in general, are not preparing for extreme weather patterns and changes, climate change, the way they should. We are not prepared to handle any sort of emergency as this past year has highlighted. So for me, there's a little bit of an element with the online conversation. Like, yeah, of course, that guy's an asshole and a hypocrite and all sorts of things. But the real problem here is that we have a bunch of our government is reluctant to embrace and acknowledge that climate change is real and start proactively doing things in advance to prepare for worst case scenario outcomes.
The reason we will not do this in most of the country is that properly preparing for these things requires a commitment to invest in the public welfare, requires a belief that is widespread that public safety and health is valuable, and that we all have an individual responsibility to contribute to it. And fully half of this country believes that is literally identical morally to the Holocaust. That's conservatism, right? That the idea that we all contribute to each other's welfare is the same as being a Nazi. That's where the Hitler was a socialist stuff leads, right? That is the essence of the American right, is that, and this is everyone has known this was coming. I was just reading one of my very favorite blogs on Pathos. It's by the same guy. I'm spacing on his name right now. But he wrote a very long series of reviews about the Left Behind books. He analyzes like evangelical culture. He put together an article in like 2011 pointing out that the U.S. power grid, everyone knows, is heading towards collapse. And one of the points was that all of the infrastructure in our national power grid was made on like a 30-year cycle, and we're now past like 55 years without replacing most of it and upgrading most of it. It is unbelievably reckless, and everyone knew this was going to be a problem. The only power grid in the nation, for all that people shit on California, that's not completely fucked right now is the West Coast power grid. Even the East Coast grid is doing better than Texas's grid. And we'll talk about why Texas has its own grid. But it has been overstressed, and the only reason that it did not have a cascading failure the last day or two is because Montreal gave us power, right? And by the way, the only reason Texas's power grid didn't collapse entirely during a series of storms in 2011 is that Mexico contributed power. So we're the equivalent of a guy who keeps going into the doctor, and the doctor says, hey, you're drinking 19 Coca-Colas a day and you're pre-diabetic. You have to cut down on the soda. It's the single part of your diet that is pushing your body towards calamity. And every year you go, well, fuck that guy. And then you wind up with horrific health consequences. And it's not a surprise. And that is what we're doing. The ailment was diagnosed like 20 years ago. the solution is very, very clear. It is not hard. It is not beyond our material capacity or our financial capacity to handle. We chose not to deal with this. And in part because we chose to invest in foreign wars, but in part because there's just an extreme distaste by many Americans, and not just Republicans, because Democrats don't like to spend money on infrastructure either. Not really, not in a way that's comprehensive or effective. They're better at it, which is part of why I think we'll talk about Texas's grid in a second. It's part of why Texas is doing the worst out of everybody, because Texas has this commitment to right-wing libertarian ideas of deregulation. But this none of this is a problem of – this is not even really a climate change problem, right? The more severe weather is an aspect of climate change, but the fact that we're dealing with power issues is not climate change's fault. It's our fault because we knew this was a problem and refused to take action.
Right. Climate change stresses the system in such a way that shows the problem for what it is, but – if not this, something else.
Yeah. You know? We could have horrible climate change related disaster and a functional power grid, which is not to say
that
like
we
shouldn't
need, because there's going to continue to be horrible climate change disaster. Yeah.
If you're not going to take any action on climate change, you might at least have a functioning power grid, but we don't and we won't.
I don't know. It just seems so important. Like, we can criticize the Ted Cruz's, we can criticize those dummies all we want, but we have to also understand that it's on both sides of people being ineffective. Mm-hmm. And that not we all come together. This is nonpartisan. But yeah, we need some people that are willing to be brave. Be brave, because it is not the most popular thing to talk about. And, you know, but it's critical. It's just it is.
Yeah, it's completely critical. And I guess now we should talk about why Texas is having a particular problem. So Texas...
Wind! It's wind's fault.
There are... we'll talk about that too. There are three power grids in the continental United States. There's the East Coast grid, which is not called the East Coast grid, but it's the eastern chunk of the country. There's the western chunk of the country grid, which is like from like Wyoming over to California and north to south. And then there's Texas. And all of Texas is not on the Texas grid. Part of the panhandle, like around Lubbock, around Lubbock, is part of the West Coast's grid. And a little bit of the eastern side of Texas is part of the East Coast grid. But about 80% of Texas is on its own grid, and it is the only state that is like that. And there are a number of reasons to it. There's a great Texas Tribune article on it that basically says you can sum it up as fuck the feds, right? Fuck the federal government. Texas did not want to be, not just like they didn't want to be part of the federal government's grid. They didn't want to be subject to regulation by the Department of Energy, right? Mm-hmm. That's the key part of it. And as a result, it allows, because the system's so deregulated, a decent chunk of Texas functions under like energy monopolies. Mm-hmm. It's more profitable and whatnot. There's most of the state is run by a nonprofit called ERCOT, which is the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, which is technically a nonprofit, and they're the ones who are supposed to be managing all of this shit. But because Texas has its own grid that is not subject to Department of Energy regulation, they don't have to keep up to the same standards. And as a result, while the entire U.S. power grid is in bad shape, Texas is in particularly bad shape. So let's talk about wind power. People have been talking about how, the reason Texas failed is because the wind power plants failed. That's literally the opposite of the truth. What people are pointing out is that the total amount of wattage that we're short by is slightly more than the capacity that wind power should provide in Texas. That's not accurate. We're out about 34,000 megawatts, something like that. It's about 30,000 is what Texas's wind power is potentially capable of generating. But that's not what it ever generates, right? It's not supposed to generate that much. It goes lower in the winter. And based on their expectations for this month, wind power has been punching above, has been over providing. It's been providing more power than they anticipated for it to provide. The reason that Texas had a shortfall is because natural gas fucked up in the weather, right? Our natural gas plant stopped functioning, and some of our nuclear plant has gone offline as well. It is not wind energy that caused the shortfall that is currently a problem for Texas. It's more than anything our outdated and completely like predictable problem. And one of the things that could have helped is we know that natural gas tends to have these kinds of failures in these temperatures. If we were connected more to the rest of the national grid, we could potentially be pulling power mm-hmm. from the West Coast or something. There are ways they could have prepared for this. I found a good article in the Houston Chronicle, and I'm going to quote from this now because it puts a lot of the problems in context. And more broadly speaking, it puts the issue that we are in that the U.S. electric grid is in right now and the Texas electric grid is in right now in some context that I think is interesting, especially given conservatism's dimensions in this. Quote, Ed Herz, an energy fellow in the Department of Economics at the University of Houston, blamed the failures on the state's deregulated power system, which doesn't provide power generators with the returns needed to invest in maintaining and improving power plants. The ERCOT grid has collapsed in exactly the same manner as the old Soviet Union, said Herz. It limped along on underinvestment and neglect until it finally broke under predictable circumstances. For more than a decade, generators have not been able to charge what it costs them to produce electricity, said Herz. If you don't make a return on your money, how can you keep it up? It's like not taking care of your car. If you don't change the oil and tires, you can't expect your car to be ready to evacuate, let alone to get you to work. So, again, all very predictable, all very reasonable, all based on deregulation and a refusal to invest in any sort of community safety or welfare whatsoever. It's cool shit. I love my home state.
And I think that we can all expect to see some significant changes being made in the near future to address this.
Mm-hmm. No, I think they're going to blame wind power and try to cut funding to wind power.
I guessed wrong yes, for what you just are. Said.
And they're going to deregulate.
The wrong point. Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to invest in the free market.
Yeah.
To solve this problem.
Have you guys seen any conversation or response about when they can expect to be putting people, turning people's electricity back on, getting power back?
Geez, I think probably later in the week, but we're getting another ice storm and snowstorm tonight. I'm genuinely worried
about so many people right now.
Yeah, I don't think there's really a good understanding of when things will get better or how likely it is that they will get better. I mean, this has the potential to be like a Katrina level problem. I'm hoping it won't get that bad. But 4 million Texans and change have no power right now. Last I checked, more than 100,000 people in Dallas are under a boil advisory because water treatment plants failed as a result of the power outage.
Wait, what's a boil advisory?
A boil advisory means that the water treatment plants are not treating water. So you need to boil snow or whatever. You need to boil water that comes out of your faucet in order to make sure it's clean. Actually, you don't
really
need to
thought it was a snow. Warning from people about some condition that'll give them boils.
No, it's and now also Corpus Christi, I believe it is, on the coast is under a boil advisory. And I'm sure it will have spread more by the time you hear this episode because just, again, necessary basic infrastructure that is required in order to maintain what we consider to be the basics of modern life was not invested in because it's expensive.
Who's got that kind of money? Where would we make that kind of money? Where would we get money to pay for these things? We're tapped out. Got these people asking for handouts.
Mm-hmm.
We got to give the rich people tax breaks. We got to spend money on the military, all of the money. And the police. So I'm sorry, everyone. You just can't have electricity.
I don't think you're sorry.
You're right.
Yeah. It's rad.
Yeah, it's very frustrating. Specifically the lies, like the blatant lies, where it's like, well, that's just not true.
There was a snow tornado in Texas. That was neat.
A snort is a good
abbreviation
for snow-nado. A snow tornado. Mm-hmm.
Couldn't agree more, Katie. Snort.
On that note, I think it's time for a little ad break,
perhaps.
Snow day.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
We're back.
We sure are.
Oh, I should say one other thing about infrastructure and collapse and shit, because this is another example of how climate change is a massive problem, but also a lot of the problems that we're having as a result of climate change are actually problems as a result of us to take very basic preparedness steps and preventative steps. In Portland, right, one of the big reasons why their grid is so fucked and so many people are out of power is that Portland has above ground power lines, which are not the best way to do power lines. The fact that it makes them, you know, they get shit on them, they collapse. They also, the reason we had so many fires in Oregon last year is because power lines would go down in the wind and then spark and then catch hundreds of thousands of acres on fire, and people died as a result of this. And there was a great video at the time, because there were all these myths that Antifa was out starting the fires. There was a wonderful video of a group of wildfire firefighters, like on their way to fight a fire, and one of the guys was like, "Look, there's one thing starting all these fires. It's fucking power lines. You know how I know that? Because every year for years, one thing has been starting all of the forest fires. It's fucking power lines getting blown down and then sparking, and we can fix this because it's the 21st century and we can bury our fucking power lines." And it's, again, this, like, yes, the dry conditions, the increased wind, the increased heat, and the increased rain that leads to more vegetation to burn, all climate change related problems, but a lot of the fires are just starting because we won't bury our goddamn power lines. And
there's a lot of that in California, too.
There's a ton of it in California. There's a ton of it all over the place.
Where my parents live.
Modest investments in infrastructure could fix these things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We won't do it, though.
Also, for forest fires, we could also look to the... Especially here in California. Mentioned this at the time during the wildfire season here. We ignore the history of indigenous people that lived here before us, and we do not respect this earth that... You know, and we just ignore the advice and the wisdom that other people have accumulated and just do our own thing. And it's wrong.
Yeah.
And common knowledge and sense.
Common knowledge and sense. All of that. Yeah. But I think that bears repeating, especially if we're talking about forest fires. Anyway, we've got more topics to discuss this week. Robert, you sent around that article, that VR article.
Hell yeah, I did that VR article.
Do you want to dig into that? What were the other things you want to talk about? Let's go with that.
Let's end on a really note.
Unless you'd rather talk about Biden's gun reform legislation.
No, let's talk about this VR thing first.
Escaping into a beautiful world where everything is fine.
Guys, you don't have to aspire to a better life. You don't need to have things that other people have. You can have it in virtual reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Things like a house that isn't freezing.
You can't expect heat.
Food that isn't spoiling, you know? A government that isn't run by kleptocrats who steal your money in order to give it to Jeff Bezos so that he can send a penis into space.
We should describe this article first.
Yeah, we should talk about the article. Sorry. you want to go, Katie? I just talked a bunch.
You go, Cody.
We'll circle back to the space penis.
Mm-hmm.
This is an article about what we've been alluding to.
Here's the title: Billionaires See VR as a Way to Avoid Radical Social Change. Okay, continue.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it's Hell about yeah. The using the VR basically as you know, this tech gets less and less expensive. more and more of the poors can have it, which means that we can create worlds within worlds to basically give people a taste of what they do not have in order to placate them, and not think that the material world is changeable. That better things can happen in the real world because you have a virtual world to escape to. The gist, it's one of those things, and I see you see this a lot with a lot of these just fucking billionaire nerds who have like read every single like sci-fi dystopia and gone like, I didn't learn anything from that. Let's do the things.
Yeah, here's a good quote. This is from John Carmack, who is a Doom co-creator and former CTO of Oculus. And he says for this article, not everyone can have a mansion. Not everyone can have a home theater. These are things we can simulate to some degree in virtual reality. Now, the simulation's not as good as the real thing. If you're rich and you have your own home theater or mansion or private island, good for you. You're probably not the people that are going to benefit from this. Most of the people in the world lived in cramped quarters that are not what they would choose to be if they had unlimited resources. So, yes, the solution is to give them a virtual reality experience.
Let them eat virtual cake.
Benefit. Oh,
God. Why is the Doom guy still relevant also?
It's right, the Doom guy. It's very it's extra fascinating, too, because like Zuckerberg isn't like heavily featured in this article or anything like that. He's not one of the quoted
he is ghouls. Slightly too smart to be interviewed for this.
Yes. But I would highly doubt that he is not, thinking the same kind of stuff about VR and its usefulness. As I was reading this, I was contrasting it with Zuckerberg going on a virtual tour of Puerto Rico.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. Yes.
With all the devastation.
I forgot that happened, but you're right.
Yeah.
He did that.
And talking about how, like, it was to show how useful virtual reality is give people empathy and be able to empathize with places you're not. And it's just, it's such a great contrast to the article because it's like literally like, oh yeah, if you're rich in this other society, you can pop on the VR and see the devastation that you don't have to experience. And then if you are there, you get the worst VR where you can pretend that you're having a nice cooked steak.
Yeah. And, there's another line in here from Carmack. That's how the world gets better, by building technologies and distributing them to people so that they have something better than they would have had if that didn't exist. Okay, just the image it's, of a
but they don't,
life.
They don't have anything
literally
better.
Literally not. You're not giving them anything.
Oh, I mean, what this article is illustrating is also like how these tech companies position themselves as, you know, changing the world, liberating the world, but it's actually quite the opposite. And what are these virtual reality worlds that are being built? Are you actually addressing systemic issues or talking about stuff? No, you're. I think the line in here is like you're giving a glamorized version of the world without the realities that we all face, you know, without just tiptoeing around the ugliness so that people can forget about it for a few minutes. But also these things are very expensive. Rich people are the only people that can afford it.
It's not even that – I don't even think the expense is the big part of it.
I know it isn't.
What's so irrational about this to me is the idea that if you're living in a cramped, squalid home without proper services that is incredibly uncomfortable and bleak, putting on a VR helmet doesn't let you simulate living in a better home. Mm-mm. It lets you look at a nicer home. Right? Yeah, right, like you're not going to feel like your bed isn't a mattress you pulled out of the garbage 15 years ago.
Right.
You're not going to feel like you have hot water, even though your hot water heater's broken. You're not going to feel like you have a cupboard full of food, even though your check doesn't come for another 9 days and you've got nothing but two packets of ramen in the house. Like you just get to look at a nice house. So it's like even. Within the concept of like what these guys are saying it could do, the only actual impact I imagine simulating wealth would have in virtual reality is it would increase people's desire to pick up a set of bolt cutters and break into the homes of the rich and then do things that we can't talk about on a podcast.
Yeah. You would hope.
Yeah.
I would hope it would do that.
Yeah, it's selling people a picture of a nice place, and letting them look at it.
It's just scary. Also, you're like, I mean, the goal is ultimately, yeah, make you feel happy with what you have, content. Let's scratch that urge without actually having to do anything for you. But that's a dangerous dystopian novel to me. No, that was the end of
just
thought.
Every day there's a new thing like this that is just like, and it's such an easy go to. But like, well, that's a Black Mirror episode. Well, that's this sci-fi dystopia. That was warned about decades ago about what we shouldn't do. And
much like the power grids,
right? Like just all this stuff. It's like, well, what do you get out of those things? What do you learn from them? Anything? Nothing? You learn that, well, the people on top win, so I should be one of those people and then make life worse for everybody else. Mm-hmm. It's just disgusting and bizarre, and we get closer every day. And
phrase that he described, our meat peripheral.
Yeah.
Meat peripheral.
I left out.
God, I hate all of these fucking people so much. it must be so frustrating to be one of the dudes who invented cyberpunk back in the day as like a warning, seeing instead everyone just be like, oh, the aesthetics of this are neat. Let's make it happen.
Like, yeah. I hate it. It's the miss. Just misses the mark so much. Even the his response to like things that we're saying about like, you know, well, that's not really the real world. Then you're creating this sort of false image of like you, like Robert, like you were saying, like you're showing them a picture of
yeah,
what other people have. And
it's not a holodeck. Yeah.
Right. It's not a holodeck. And his response basically like, I live in Dallas. It's 100 degrees here. Well, not anymore. It's 100 degrees there. We change the world around us and all that we do.
Yeah.
We live in air conditioning. People don't generally go, oh, you're not experiencing the world around you because of air conditioning. That is what human beings do. We bend the world to our will. That's not what you're
that's
doing,
not
buddy.
Virtual reality. That's actual reality. You're creating a condition that's habitable through air conditioning so that a person can live.
Exactly.
It's not comparable at all.
It's real. It's real cold that a person in air conditioning doesn't think like, oh, wow, this is a picture of somebody looking cooler than the heat outside. No, it's literally that way.
I think it's also important to acknowledge something that is acknowledged in the article, which is that people keep saying virtual reality will take over and, you know, really take hold. And we haven't seen that happen. Like, you know, there has been a bit of a modest increase in virtual reality headset sales during the pandemic, but not compared to video games in general.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Part of that is the fact that it is cost prohibitive for most people. The article discusses how eventually it will become more affordable for the masses. And that's like the general goal. But it isn't taking root. You know,
yeah.
I'm sure that's a distraction, but it's not doing the thing that people want it to do. And that's kind of what this feels like. How do we make this drug more affordable and addicting to people?
Exactly.
To the people that actually could benefit from virtual reality versus the people that are wealthy enough to spend about disposable income on a toy like this.
Yeah. How do we more efficiently subdue people in poor conditions? And keep them there without complaining too much.
Mm-hmm. Let's put some Soma in the water. I don't know. I take it too far.
I mean, it's all that stuff.
I know. I just get weird quoting dystopian novels, seeing how often the right does it to us about in the wrong way.
Well, that's the thing. Like, they don't. They don't do it in the right way. Mm-hmm. Even like they talk about whenever they talk about any movie, they're like, well, did you watch the movie?
Did you watch it? Yeah. Like, what are you saying? How did we get to very different messages from this?
How do you watch these things? But it's like the ending of Ready Player One, bad movie.
Bad movie, terrible book. Why is this the future that people are steering us towards?
They're striving towards it. It's so bizarre. Because, not only is it bad, it's a bad book, it's a bad movie. It's also not desirable. That movie ends with the special boy winning the game, and so he controls the company, and like the victory is that like he gets a nicer apartment. He does.
Yeah.
And then people like need to log off every once in a while. They still have the terrible dystopian world in which they live, which they can escape from via VR. It's still shit. It's utter shit.
Oh, it's so good. Cody, I think what you meant to say is things are heading in a good direction.
We're on our way towards more freedom.
Everything is so solid. It's solid. It is fine, and no one's freezing to death.
We're working on a new theme song, too.
We like the world now. Things are better, and everybody's happy.
Is that our
happy
new t-shirt? We like the world now. Things are better, and everyone's happy. Buy it in our merch store.
Buy it in our merch store. God.
I think that does it for us today.
Yeah. We can talk about gun control another time.
We've got all the time in the world.
Yeah. We've got all the time in the world.
Yeah, exactly. Send us on vacation. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Like Congress, we're going on cashing in early, not having done our full job. Because what are you going to do? What are you
going
to do?
Listen to
another podcast?
└└└└================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================
addicted. You're going to stay here. Motherfuckers. Sophie, can we call the audience motherfuckers?
We're not near an ad.
We're not.
You can follow. We love you. Can follow us at Worst Year Pod on Twitter and Instagram.
Motherfuckers.
You can follow Katie Stoll at Katie Stoll. You can follow Cody at Dr. Mr. Cody. You can follow Robert and I, right? Okay.
Motherfuckers.
I tried. Yes. Daniel?
Lovely.
Worst Year Ever is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.